Welcome to the PSA CPSU New South Wales first podcast for 2023. I'm Marianne Ledditch, Manager Campaigns and Communications at the PSA, and your new host for this podcast. I'd like to take this opportunity to sincerely thank our previous host, Jim Minns, for the amazing work he's done on the podcast over the last 3 years. He's still part of the PSA family, working in our justice team as an industrial officer. Jim is studying law in his free time, and I use the word free very loosely as I'm convinced he doesn't sleep. Jim hosts a podcast called The Wigs for all the lawyers out there and Minimal for listeners who are interested in movies, music, arts and literature. Of course, you can find Jim's podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. This week on the pod, we welcome General Secretary Stuart Little and we talk about the state election and our campaign, Privatisation Hurts Everyone. Before we start, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal peoples of the Eora Nation as the traditional custodians of the land which we record this podcast and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. I would like to extend that respect to Aboriginal peoples listening today. Thanks, Stuart, for joining us today.
Yep, thanks. Great to be here.
This week at the PSA, we started our state election campaign, Privatisation Hurts Everyone. Before we get into where the PSA is going with the campaign, I'd like to talk about privatisation in general. What is privatisation?
Well, privatisation is effectively the public sector or the government selling off public sector assets and or jobs and services. And it takes many, many forms. Quite often, the government may retain assets like the buildings, but privatise the people that work there. We've seen that in disability services, quite frankly, one of the largest privatisations that any jurisdiction of any state has seen. Formerly the state, the New South Wales government, had carriage for around 40% of people with disability. They were generally the people with the most profound disability, often people with particularly behavioural problems or indeed with very, very serious physical disability. Previous generations have said, look, the public sector needed to be there to provide a safety net. Now that's just been ripped out. It was through the NDIS process where the only way Barry O'Farrell, the then Premier, would sign up to the NDIS was to privatise the services that they provide in disability care. Now that took place over a number of years, but it's effectively happened now. As a consequence of that, the assets may well be owned by the government, but operated by NGOs. Salaries in that sector are around 25% less than what they were previously. And, you're having the same types of problems in that sector now as are endemic across the aged care sector, where they can't find people to work there. So again, if the process was to look after our most vulnerable, effectively that hasn't happened, and you're seeing a squandering of many, many tens of millions of dollars through that NDIS process, and it's certainly something that we hope is addressed. Now, you've also seen things like the Parklea prison, and, this was a Labor government that then did that, albeit a Labor government in their dying days. And unfortunately, you find that desperate people resort to desperate measures. And it certainly concerns us at the moment when you've got the current Premier talking about future privatisations. Parklea prison going back to, the former Labor government. The government owned the property, they owned the building, but all of the offices there were privatised. You have this ridiculous situation there where you've got riot after riot, problem after problem at Parklea, because they can't pay their workers, living salaries, because if they do, they won't make a profit.
Yeah.
The private companies that do it. So it's almost like putting up one of those signs that you used to see at the cinema, all care and our responsibility. Effectively, the government, incarcerate people in our court system, our legal justice system, and then they say, oh, well, we'll hand it over to a private company and let them make a few bob out of it. It's disgraceful. And certainly it's something that future governments need to address. If you look at what's happened up in Clarence or at Grafton, this new jail up there, the government have undertaken a 20-year contract. So they say to a big company like Serco, well, if you build the jail for us, it's the biggest jail in Australia, probably the Southern Hemisphere, you build the jail and then you can operate it for 20 years and make as much money as you can out of it. That's what they've done. similar to what happened down at Junee back in the the dying days of the then Greiner government. But unfortunately, they haven't been unwound. Governments will say we need them for a benchmark. It's just absolute rubbish. You can benchmark state by state, but you certainly don't want to privatise things like prisons. Likewise, I look at the Land Titles Office. That was just appalling that you had a New South Wales government under Gladys Berejiklian privatised the Land Titles Office for $2.6 billion. Right? $2.6 billion. They then put that money into building football stadiums, right? Not into hospitals, not into any frontline service, fixing up our schools, fixing up child protection, fixing up the environment, dealing with climate change. That money went into building, Parramatta Stadium, the new football stadium, which is not big enough to hold the opening of the Women's World Cup. That's going to be out at the Olympic Stadium. But, we've spent, sold it off, which is now owned by a superannuation company. That's fine for that company. And, they do good things. But, they can sell it at a profit too. I mean, where does it end up? This is the Land Titles Office. You've seen similar things happen in Victoria where I think the motor registries down there have been sold off as well. It concerns us greatly, which is why we want to prosecute this campaign, that, you could have, the Premier turn around and say, well, let's sell off Sydney Water. Indeed, they've refused to rule that out. Service New South Wales, let's sell that. It's short term and people know. If you go back to the Land Titles Office, they could have borrowed that money at the lowest interest rates on record, long term, pay the money back over time through indeed, just put the prices up, which is what the new privatised mob have done. All of the prices at Land Titles have gone up by something like, hundreds of percent increase. They don't feel any problem about increasing the prices because it's a monopoly.
Yeah.
The ACCC said, it is anti-competitive. Of course it is. So you've got a private company making oodles of money, which the state government could have been making, and indeed they'd have that forevermore. Now, compare this to toll roads. Up M5 or M4, up the road from me, M4, I live down in the St George area. I live very close to the M5. My daughter has to catch the drive out to work, social worker out in Western Sydney. She pays a toll every day, a couple of thousand a year. This is a young worker, social worker, fresh out of uni, and she's spending at least $2,000 out of her $60,000 salary just on tolls before she puts petrol in the car, which is not getting any cheaper, or indeed, pays for the upkeep of a car or anything else. It's madness. Like, we will pay the M5 off 10 times over. And, okay, I get parts of it may be, very complex, but the vast bulk of that road surely is not that difficult to build.
We should also add there that the company that owns those roads is Transurban. I think they don't own two of our tollway
roads.
I'm
pretty sure Transurban own quite a number of them.
I think most of them in New South Wales.
And again, it just makes you wonder why you would not simply borrow the money, build those, and then charge the toll. At least the money's going back to the state government.
And that's what I wanted to talk about because it's not going. No. So people assume when they're paying tolls that the money is going back to the state government to fix roads, where it's not. It's going to an organisation as a profit.
Well, and for a lot of those companies, I'm not quite sure on the makeup of Transurban. Quite often that money's going overseas.
True.
They're multinational companies. Money that could be invested in our, frontline services, health, education, the environment. And it's not. And you're right, it's short-term political gain. This is how, let's be honest, the politicians operate. Why on earth are you putting that money into football stadiums? I love the football, but let me tell you, why on earth is taxpayer dollars going into what are pretty good stadiums anyway? It raises the question. Obviously, they're looking at helping out big business, big construction companies, these huge government contracts. They're the beneficiaries of this stuff. And obviously then the politicians like to cut the ribbons and say, look at me, look what we've done. But what they've done is sell off an asset and, you know, you don't get them back. I mean, this is a problem with these things. Once they're gone, they're gone.
And we should add that most of these organisations, if something went wrong, the government will bail them out.
Look, again, if you look at Qantas, which again, I absolutely agree that you'd have to wonder whether, you know, the government and taxpayers want to be in the airline industry. But, you know, the pandemic, the Morrison government handed out billions of handouts to Qantas. And then what we saw Mr. Dixon do was, well, give himself a pay rise and sack all the baggage handlers and staff. Compare that to the German government where, again, they bailed out Lufthansa. They now own 25% of that airline. So they now are in there and helping to regulate and they will reap a dividend. We've got nothing. And again, all we've done was help the big end of town. So again, it's sort of socialism for the very wealthy people, the big end of town. And it's capitalism for, you know, the kids that are, you know, using the M5 every day and normal people. If they want to go and do a title search at the land titles office, they're paying, you know, 600 times or something more than what they used to pay under a you know, public sector owned asset.
Exactly. I just want to mention a few other things that have been privatised over the 30 years. So we're 30 years in the future of privatisation. It started in New South Wales about 89, if I'm not wrong. So the Sydney Desalination Plant, Port Botany, Newcastle and Kembla. Power stations, I want to point out Vowles Point Power Station. They sold it for $1 million and just recently it was sold for $200 million. That private provider made a profit of $199 million.
Well, again, it's socialism for the big end of town and it's capitalism for the taxpayer. It's just appalling that those assets are sold off like that. Quite frankly, I find that reprehensible, bordering on criminal behaviour by government to do that. We're seeing it now, you know, again, with, you know, the critical situation that's happened, you know, with the invasion of Ukraine and the, you know, the rising cost of power, coupled with a problem with the supply chain post-pandemic where inflation's soaring. You know, it's absolutely starting to soar. People's mortgages are going up. So, you know, again, what are the governments saying to us at this election? Well, geez, if we want to build new things, we're going to sell stuff off. I mean, they're being very open about it. So, you know, what I would like to see the opposition leader, Mr. Minns, commit to is legislation which has been introduced into the South Australian Parliament, which has not been adopted as yet, as I understand it, but it would require a vote of both houses in order to sell any asset off. You know, that's what the people of New South Wales, I think, want. I think that's what they need. And as I said, when we go out and campaign on this issue, I'm yet to see anyone that supports privatisation. Yes, they love to see infrastructure. Yes, they love to see new things being built. But they, like most people, if they, you know, they want to build a home or buy a home, they go and borrow the money and they pay it over time. That's what you do. You know, you don't just sort of, you don't pay rent on these things forever. If you're in a position, and government is in a position, they are the government. I mean, you look back at our, you know, forebears. I mean, look at the amazing things that they were able to build in far less modern times. You know, great things like the Opera House and the Harbour Bridge and all these incredible pieces of infrastructure. And yet, for some reason now, we can't build a road. I mean, it's just astonishing. So, you know, things like TAFE, another area where we've seen buildings in particular and land sold.
Absolutely.
Dapto Campus, Scone Campus. They've earmarked around 27 campuses around the state for sale. Now, again, you don't get them back. The Scone Campus, they sold it off to the racing industry. Well, why didn't they just require the racing industry to use that? They regulate the racing industry.
Absolutely.
But again, it's socialism for the big end of town, the racing industry, the Sporter Kings. They get a handout, nice cheap property at Scone. You know, and we lose another TAFE campus. So, you know, you've got to rebuild so many of these iconic institutions now. TAFE in particular is in Canberra through the week. You know, the federal government now going to have to pour money into this. You've got a skills shortage. You've got huge problems now filling jobs. And, you know, guess what's been happening over the last decade? They've been downsizing TAFE because they thought their mates at the big end of town would step into that space. They haven't. They haven't done that, you know. So, again, you'd hope that the government could support an institution like TAFE that has served our community for 130 years. That's how long it's been going for. It saw huge periods of economic growth after the Depression, after the war, after conflict. And yet, you know, in the last 12 years as part of this mantra, you know, we're flogging off the buildings and properties.
And it's a trusted, but it's a trusted institution too. It's vocational education, which people need.
It's second to none. And, you know, most tradies, and again, when we've campaigned around TAFE, they absolutely recognise the iconic status that TAFE has. There is every sort of family has a TAFE story. You know, my mother learned to do shorthand at Bankstown TAFE you know, after the Second World War. It helped her get a job.
Yep.
You know, and so many tradies and people, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people, have gone through our TAFE system. And it's critical that we rebuild that.
Now, I just wanted to go back. You mentioned Chris Minns, if he won the election, about putting a piece of legislation there. This week, both the Premier of the state, Mr. Perrottet, and Chris were on 2GB with Ben Fordham. And as we're speaking about privatisation today, I wanted to mention two things that really stood out to me in that debate. The first thing was, and these are in Ben's words, that the Coalition want to rule in privatisation, and the Labor government, well, if it's a Labor government, I should say, but New South Wales Labor want to rule it out. What does that mean for our members in the PSA?
Well, it is a massive difference. And again, I absolutely applaud Chris Minns on giving that undertaking. You know, we've seen other states where they've given that undertaking, as I said recently in South Australia. You saw a one-term Conservative government lose power because of what they had privatised and sold off. And you saw the new, newly installed government down there run on an anti-privatisation platform. Now, you know, again, it means that they will look to sell off more of the farm. You know, Sydney Water, seriously. I mean, you're talking about the water supply for one of the great cities of the world, you know, Sydney. You know, what does it mean for Hunter Water, for Illawarra Water? What does it mean for regional, you know, water supplies, which the PSA are heavily involved in through State Water? You know, it's a critical piece of infrastructure. You had governments in particular in post-war periods go out and build those huge dams in regional areas, Burrendong, you know, various Burrinjuck, dams all across the state, you know, because one, they wanted jobs, but two, they recognise to build up regional New South Wales, you had to have power, you had to have water. Now, why on earth would you be, you know, they've already power, they've already sold off generators, and we've seen what's happened, you know, disaster after disaster. Why on earth would you be looking to privatise water? It's a basic necessity. That's a bit like the air we breathe. I mean, if they could privatise that off, I'm sure they would as well.
They probably
would. But, you know, water really, well, that needs to be ruled out. And I really hope to see in the days ahead that the media really take Mr. Perrottet to task on that.
Yeah. I'm just going to just shift to the side because he did actually bring up in that debate the wages cap. What I'd like to ask you for our listeners is, what is the wages cap?
The wages cap is a policy that has now been put into legislation, which will limit the amount of money that any public sector frontline worker can achieve as a pay rise. What they've done is basically put a set of handcuffs on the New South Wales Industrial Relations Commission. That wages cap has varied from everything from 0%, to 0.3%, to 1.5%, to 2.5%, to 3%, and now they're talking 3.5% this year. But in their you know, in the forecast, a return to 2.5%.
Yeah.
Now you've got a situation where inflation is running at 7.8%. You've seen the private sector for the first time vastly outstrip wages in the public sector because of these unfair, unjust workplace laws. Now, you know, Mr. Perrottet says that, well, the only way we can go and build this infrastructure is if we, you know, put a cap on the wages. He has not put a cap on wages. He has cut wages. You know, whether you're a frontline nurse, you know, police officer, or, you know, if I look at our members in child protection, in education, within the prison service, you know, their base salaries have dropped, vastly dropped. Those members that are in a position where they can work overtime and extra shifts are having to do that to keep their head above water. And also, I'll say, in circumstances where I think the tolls just went up by 6%, you know, hand out to big multinational company, big end of town, socialism for the rich, you know, socialism for the big end of town. Working people are being asked to pay more and more, and it's not good enough. You need an independent umpire, separate to government, like our real, you know, like the legal system.
Yep. You know,
that they operate independent of government, based on guiding principles and legislation that allows unions to go there and put forward a case, a legitimate case, to increase wages. That's not there. And again,
we're not
it's
even
a vast difference between, you know, the two major parties. Obviously, you know, you've got many minor parties involved in the political system now as well. You know, we've written to all of the major parties on wages because it's such an important issue. We have received positive responses from, you know, from the Labor Party, from the Greens, from the Shooters, from various independents, and we'll publish those responses because they're very, very important. But obviously, coming back to privatisation, it's really just as important as wages, because we do not want to see any more of the farm being sold off, and our kids and their kids are going to be the people that pay for that.
So we're at inflation at 7.8% at the end of last quarter, and this affects the whole thing, would you say?
Absolutely it does. I mean, it effectively means if you're getting inflation coming in at 8%, everyone's had to try to fill their car up with petrol. The tolls have gone up by 6%. Rent is going through the roof. House home affordability is still a dream for my kids. You know, all of those things are just sort of quickly, you know, getting out of the reach of normal people. And what do we get? Well, you know, we're going to privatise to, you know, build more infrastructure. And by the way, geez, we hope inflation comes down. We hope it's not entrenched. But if it is, your wages are going to continue to be capped under the Perrottet government. You know, I have to say, you know, I've met with Mr. Perrottet. He seems like a very reasonable fellow. But on this, he is just wrong. You know, you need to bring back an independent umpire. And quite frankly, on privatisation, you need to commit to, you know, borrowing money at cheap rates, which the government can do, and you've got to stop selling off the farm.
As we stated earlier, this week the PSA started to campaign for the state election. Our ad has been released. We've got another ad coming out next week as well. We are handing out at stations in the morning with information. We are in workplaces talking to our members of these issues. We're going to hold two candidate forums, one in Penrith and one in Parramatta, in March. There's a lot going on, but I want to ask you, why is it important that we, as the PSA, campaign for the state election?
Because privatisation hurts everyone, as the campaign says, and as, you know, we've just spoken about. What you see is this direct link between privatisation and the cost of living. You know, we've seen it. You know, when you sell off electricity, you know, prices go up. You've got no control over it. You know, gas. What happens if water goes? What happens if Service New South Wales goes private? So when we go to pay for our registration for our cars or our, you know, if you own a boat or a water ski or whatever other thing that you may own, or a jet ski, I should say, what's going to happen to those to the costs associated with that?
Well, and we can see what happened with land titles.
It goes
because
up.
It goes up.
The prices go up again and again. It's great for the big end of town because they get the benefit, and that none of that money goes back to the state to provide frontline services, and it has to stop. And this election, we you know, as we've said, we've seen what Mr. Menzies said. We'd like to see him go further and commit to legislation, like the South Australian, you know, governments. They're currently, you know, in the process of dealing with that legislation. But, you know, obviously we've heard it firsthand from Mr. Perrottet. They will privatise, and, you know, they've ruled out not privatising Sydney Water. So, you know, again, another iconic piece of state infrastructure. If they're going to sell off Sydney Water, quite frankly, nothing is safe.
Is there a group of people in our community that have been disadvantaged by privatisation? And is there a group of members who've been disadvantaged by privatisation?
There are many, but the most obvious and largest are people with disability in our community. You know, the privatisation of the disability sector by the New South Wales government is a disgrace, and it's an ongoing disgrace. And you've seen, you know, many, many people who are in home, you know, in care. Generally, quite many of them are wards of the state. You know, these are people who, unfortunately, their families have had to effectively hand over to the state to look after because they couldn't look after them. You know, they're now being looked after by NGOs.
Yeah.
And these, you know, non-government organisations that don't have the capacity to pay their workers adequate wages, they just don't. And they don't have the history of dealing with, you know, the most vulnerable people that the state used to look after. So, again, that is definitely. But also, if you look at things like that prison privatisation, I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to work there. And you certainly would not want to be incarcerated there. You know, you've had riot after riot. You've had, you know, deaths in custody, some very serious assaults, both on officers and inmate on inmate. It's one of the most dangerous jails in the country. But, you know, the list goes on. You know, there's numerous examples now of where people are disadvantaged. I don't think any of the people that work at the Land Titles Office have been helped. We've lost jobs there. You know, again, you know, so many of these places because the number one motive is profit for the shareholders. And as we've seen, particularly with large multinational companies, that money is going offshore. So, you know, not only have we lost that iconic piece of public sector infrastructure, we're actually losing revenue that we should be getting now and forever.
Just to wrap up, with everything that we've discussed today, what can our listeners do in the lead up to the state election?
They need to go to their local members when they vote, and obviously the parliament is made up of you know, various seats, you know, 90-odd seats around the state. They should be saying to those candidates, what is your position on privatisation? I work in the public sector. I deserve a fair and reasonable pay rise. Why on earth are you going to, you know, sell off public sector assets to pay for roads and other, you know, pieces of infrastructure? And why will you not restore an independent industrial umpire so that my union, the PSA, can go and put forward an argument for a fair and honest pay rise?
Thanks, Stuart. Please visit our website, psa.asn.au/privatisation. There is information and assets that you can use if you're wanting to get involved. Also, contact your organiser for workplace meetings to discuss our campaign. Thank you for listening today, and we look forward to you joining us next week.